Today, Pastor Ray Bentley offers a glimpse of the power of the Lord as revealed in the last days.
God's will is expressed sharply and penetratingly out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. His words conquer all, and they are extremely sharp. Simply put, this world, the power of this world comes out of the mouth of a gun. The power of the man of faith comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We get glimpses of awesome power occasionally, a destructive tornado, a raging river, lightning and thunder. But that can't compare to the power of the Almighty God of the universe. And today, Pastor A points out how we need to understand God's power to comprehend His end times plan.
All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. We will cover verse 16. He now says about Jesus, he had in his right hand seven stars. In his right hand are seven stars. Now, there's obviously a lot of symbolic language in the book of Revelation. It is always helpful. The best commentary on the Bible happens to be the Bible. It explains itself. So if you go down to verse 20 and read that very quickly, you'll find out that the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. So there are seven churches that Christ is in the midst of. He now has in his right hand, his hair is white as snow, his eyes are as flames of fire, his face is shining like the sun, his feet is in burnished bronze. In his right hand are seven stars. The seven stars are the seven angels over the seven churches. Right hand also has symbolic meaning. It means ready for use. With your right hand, symbolically, that's what you're ready to do something. A soldier who has a sword in his hand is ready for battle. The shepherd who has a staff in his right hand is ready at work. A contractor with a hammer in his hand is ready to strike the nail into the board. So, in other words, what is in my right hand is what I am ready to do. What does Christ do? He runs the entire universe. What's in his right hand to help run it? It is the seven angels to the seven churches. Do you realize how dear and precious the church is to the Lord Jesus Christ? In the eyes of the world, the church is kind of way down here, a nice little social group, and they do some good works maybe. But in the kingdom of heaven, far above all the other economic and political enterprises on the earth, in the right hand of the risen Savior and Lord are the seven stars, the seven angels of the seven churches. There is nothing more precious to Christ than the church. He is in the midst of his church. He is coming with his church. He is coming to bring his church. We will rule and reign with him. Amen? Mighty. It's powerful. So he stands in her midst and he holds her seven angels in his right hand. Now, so having said that, that means that we're all in his hands. He holds the whole world in his hands. Now, there's something very interesting. In the heavens, there is a constellation of stars called Pleiades. And interestingly, Pleiades essentially is seven of the brightest stars that make up this open cluster of stars known as Pleiades. The ancient world saw them as bound together on a chain or looking like a diamond necklace made of stars against the velvet ink of the heavens and the universe. Beautiful. Now, what's amazing is that the oldest book in the Bible, which by the way is not the book of Genesis, the oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. And God was in a conversation with Job. Job was suffering. He was going through a lot of things. There was another spiritual arena where things were going on behind the scenes and the throne of God and the devil accusing and God defending and have you seen my servant Job? Job had no clue about. And so Job is questioning, oh God, why? And he's going through all of the sufferings and everything else. And he has his counselors, who were no help, whatever, Job's counselors. But in the end, finally, God speaks. And when God speaks to Job, it's interesting what he appeals to. In Job chapter 38, verses 31 and 32, when he wants to show Job, look, I'm in charge, he uses the constellations. Now, for some of you have a science background, maybe you have been in an astronomy background, you know that stars don't cluster. Stars, by their very nature, are kind of on their own. They might have their own little planets and the moons and things around them, but stars, by the very nature of being stars, do not cluster, except in this one place. Uniquely in this one place, the seven stars that make up Pleiades are in a cluster, and what does God say about it to Job? He asks Job, can you bind the cluster of Pleiades? Or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season? So God mentions the constellations, Pleiades. He says, can you make the stars cluster? No. Well, guess what, Job? I can. Can you loose the belt of Orion? Another constellation in the heavens. God says, I can. And then he appeals to the Maseroth, which is the Hebrew word that in the Greek is zodiac, the 12 signs that are in the heavens. He says, can you make the sun go through them in its season? God says, I can do that. In the early church and in the ancient world, when they looked up into the stars and they saw Pleiades and they saw these seven bright stars, they said that was a picture of the seven stars that are in the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a picture of them. And it was a picture, and by the way, Pleiades is in the constellation Taurus, which every Pentecost, there's the sun in the midst of it, and is a symbol of the coming of Jesus Christ. So here are these seven angels. But I want you to look at the next part of your notes, seven angels / pastors of the churches. Now, the Greek word here, this is from the Strong's Concordance, is angel or angelos. And it means a messenger, especially an angel, and by implication, a pastor. Well, let's start with angel. It means that there may actually be angels who are assigned to specific churches. And therefore, that there were seven angels to the seven churches in Asia Minor that we will read about in the letters to the church in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. But if that's true, is it then also possibly true that there is an angel for each one of the churches that the Lord has upon the earth? And if then that is true, is it possible there is a Maranatha angel who oversees and has been commissioned by our Father in heaven to watch over this church and this ministry, and that we might be blessed, coming under the covering of that angel? To the seven angels, which are the stars in the right hand of God. Now, you know, I need to tell you that I have met an angel in my life. I know you will think, well, really, Pastor Ray, you're saying you've met an angel. I did meet an angel, a real angel, and then I married her. Her name is Vicky, and she's my wife. Woo! Okay, so she's awesome. She is awesome. But here's the other part of it. Okay, angels, and there may be, you know, whoever our Maranatha angel is. By the way, I think we all have our guardian angels. I think some of you have several. You need more help. But we at least maybe have this one angel. But the other idea is, if you'll notice in the Greek translation, sometimes the word angel, angelos, in the Bible, which basically means messenger, sometimes it's speaking of a heavenly angel, sometimes it's speaking of a man, an earthly man. And in specific here, a pastor. That the Lord would say that each one of those churches has a pastor. They have a shepherd. And that the Lord says, and I've got the pastor is in my right hand. And with my right hand, my will shall be done. My work shall be accomplished. My passion will be released. The destiny that I have for my children will unfold with the seven pastors that I hold in my right hand. Now, it's interesting. There is a special relationship even between angels, as we read about them in the Bible, and prophets. Pastors, whenever we share the Word of God, the New Testament gift of prophecy, unlike the Old Testament, is basically the Word of God. We have the Word of God. Sharing the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, bringing the Word of God is always the exercise of the spiritual gift of prophecy, which is to edify and to build up, and it is to encourage, and it is to comfort. That's the gift of prophecy in the New Testament. So the chief mark of a prophet was that he stood in the presence of God and in the midst of the angels during the session of the heavenly councils. Thus, he became a spokesman to the people on God's behalf. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets." In this heavenly council, as members of the council, they then are able to speak freely with God. We are able to ask God questions. They are considered the friends of God. And so therefore, he listens to them and he asks them questions, and they weigh in the heavenly council as they intercede for the people. And he speaks openly to them, and they reflect God's glory because they are bearers of the Word of God, as even do the angels. So I want you to know that I have a tremendous privilege and calling and anointing to be able to go before God. And when I pray, and I pray interceding on behalf of you and upon behalf of Maranatha Chapel and all the missions and ministries and the works that God is doing here, there's a special relationship that is there. And I feel that I am in the very right hand of God to help him, and to that he might accomplish his will and purpose through the earth. So I pray for you, and I ask that you pray for me. You do, don't you? Amen? And we pray for one another. We bless one another, and we love one another, and we walk together in Christ.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's such a joy to hear from listeners and learn how these studies have blessed them. Take a listen to this.
Pastor Ray, my husband and I first came across your broadcast by accident. We feel very blessed by how God has used you as a vessel for his message for so many believers and the times we are in. Our last several years have been very challenging for our family, finances, health, etc. But God always came through, making a way where there seemed to be no way. Our faith in him is our number one non-negotiable. I'm not eloquent of speech, but I believe we both have grown in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Obedience is far better than sacrifice, as we've learned being facilitators for the marriage ministry at our home church.
How have these studies in God's Word touched your life? Would you drop Pastor Ray an email and let him know? Write ray@raybentley.com. Again, ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, to give you a scripture that shows where, is it possible that men could literally shine like stars? Read with me Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Let's read this scripture in your notes out loud together. "So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe." There it is. Shining like stars in the universe. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, "Blessed are those who bring many to righteousness. They shall shine like stars also." So the Lord has these seven angels, seven messengers, perhaps the seven pastors of the seven churches in his right hand. And the next thing we read in verse 16 is, "And out of his mouth is a sharp, two-edged sword." The Word of God is living, his words are living, and they are active and they are powerful. I think the best verse in the New Testament that demonstrates this is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Let's read that scripture out loud together. "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Ah, the Word of God, sharp like a sword, a double-edged sword. John uses the metaphor of a sword to demonstrate what happens when the Messiah speaks. It penetrates, it pierces, it's powerful, it divides, it separates. Now, we have a lot of believers around the world, and my goodness, what God is doing. Please, listen, the Bible says first the natural, then the spiritual. In other words, when you see things happening in the natural arena that are extraordinary, it is a window through which you get to see what's happening in the spiritual realm. God is moving literally mountains. Mountains that are the size of nations. Nation after nation after nation after nation after uprising after uprising. God is behind it. He's in it. He is moving. His fingerprints are all over it. His footprints are upon it. From Afghanistan and Pakistan all the way through the Middle East and to North Africa into Morocco. God is on the move. And His word is being sent. And there are many who are coming to the Lord. That's the behind-the-scenes story that you won't hear on the surface. And that is that God is pulling out of the shaking of these lands, including Asia and Japan. He is bringing many people into the kingdom of heaven. And there are many of our brothers and sisters who are running for their lives. They are running from place to place, and they are being persecuted also in the midst of this, even in the midst of the great work that God is doing. And there are many that are saying, oh, what will we do? And in times past, we've said, let's grab the sword, and let's, in the name of Christ, bring the sword to the earth. But in Scripture, military force becomes really a metaphor for the Word of God, because the most powerful force in the universe is not a military weapon, but it's the might of the Word of God. It is the power of the Word. This is more powerful, this book right here, than a nuclear weapon. It's more powerful than atomic energy. It is the Word of God that brought all things into existence. The Word that said, let there be light, and light came out of God's mouth at 186,000 miles per second. The Word of God is powerful. The heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall remain forever and ever and ever. You have it. You have the Word of God. Live in the Word. Meditate in the Word. Speak the Word. Use the Word. God's will is expressed sharply and penetratingly out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. His words conquer all, and they are extremely sharp. They are so sharp, they are able to cut through willful pride and resistance. They're able to divide good from evil. They're able to overthrow rebellion. They are able to create peace by the Word of God. Simply put, this world, the power of this world comes out of the mouth of a gun. The power of the man of faith comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? The Word of God. When Jesus speaks, it's like a sword that comes out of His mouth. And lastly, His face is like the sun, shining like the sun. You know, we saw when Moses came down the mountain and people saw His face. I don't know if you knew this. They didn't just see that His face was shining, reflecting the glory of God. But He was shining so bright, they couldn't look at His face. It wasn't just, wow, look at Moses and stare. It was, I can't quite look at it. My goodness, it is so bright. Just as the sun, 93 million miles away. And yet you can't look at it. If you do stare at it, you'll go blind. So the face of Moses, reflecting the glory of God, was so bright, people had to turn their eyes away. They couldn't behold it. You and I reflect that glory, but Jesus shines. He's the one that shines upon His bride and upon the church. And the shining face of God also speaks of His joy and His happiness and His blessing in us. Numbers chapter 6, verse 25. Let's read it out loud together. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. God is gracious, and God is good, and God is loving, and He loves you, and His face is shining for you. He's got His churches, and His pastors, and His angels in His right hand. He's got a sword coming from His mouth, and His face shining like the sun. And now we're going to bow our heads, and I want you to just go to that quiet place. Let the Holy Spirit take the Word of God and fill your beautiful minds and eye and imagination, will the Word come alive. and begin worshiping the Lamb of God. Begin worshiping Him, and you just want to just say, Lord, I love You, and begin to praise Him. If you're not yet a believer in Jesus Christ, but maybe there's someone here that is saying, you know, I'm beyond observation. I'm ready. What can I do to be saved? I am alone. I am empty. I am convinced of my own sinfulness. I want forgiveness. I want Christ. I want heaven. I want to go to be with Him and spend eternity in heaven. You can. You say, what must I do? Very simple. If you will confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. So I'm going to lead us in a very simple prayer. This is salvation, folks. It's this simple and it's this powerful. It's a gift. It's given 100%. The price was already paid by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. So if you know the Lord, pray with me out loud. There may be one man, one woman, one boy, one girl who has never prayed personally to ask Christ to come into your life. Let's pray together out loud after this manner. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner, and I am so sorry for everything that I've done wrong. I repent, and I turn to You. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying on the cross in my place. Thank You for paying for my sins. I open the door of my heart, and I ask You to come into my life, to be my personal Lord and Savior. Please fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I receive the gift of eternal life. Now help me to follow You, Jesus, all the way to heaven until I see You face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley with an important word of prayer today here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like to know more about what it means to follow the Lord, go to our website, maranatharadio.com. Click on Knowing God, and Pastor Ray will walk you through the information you need. Now, today's broadcast is available on CD. We'll be glad to send it to you for a gift of any size. Get in touch and ask for the message by title. It's His Right Hand. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Revelation on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, as a pastor, you deal in some of the most important precepts of the Bible. These are timeless truths. But you've recently branched out. In a brand new book called On the Mountain of the Lord, you crossed over from nonfiction to fiction. What was it like to sort of put on your story creation hat?
Well, it has been so fun to be able to work with Bodie and Brock Taney, this couple that have literally sold over 35 million of their books, the Zion Chronicles, the story of the rebirth of Israel, even first century novels and stories, but they had never written about modern times. And so God supernaturally, sovereignly brought us together. They learned some of my experiences and adventures in modern Israel, the friendships, relationships, how I was even brought into before Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and a man that is a very close friend of mine had a word from God for him, actually several words that have come to pass to bring us where we are today. And so, you know, Jesus told stories. When He wanted to communicate the tremendous supernatural truths of the kingdom of heaven, He told stories, lots of stories, parables. In those stories and in those parables are all kinds of layers of the supernatural, of truths, of eternal principles. And I've never done it before, but I'm telling you what, I am so thrilled, so happy, so pleased with this book called On the Mountain of the Lord. That tells this story of modern times and prophecy that is happening right now in front of the eyes of the whole world.
Yeah, it really is an exciting read. And once again, the title of this new novel is On the Mountain of the Lord. Get in touch today for your own copy. We'll send it to you to thank you for your donation. You choose the amount. But remember that your support is what makes it possible for us to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day. So get in touch today for your copy of On the Mountain of the Lord. Write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Revelation. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.